Support for Tech News Briefing comes from Optum. For those who won't rest until the world is healthier, neither will Optum. At Optum, they're tackling the biggest challenges in healthcare by providing innovative, data-driven solutions that help improve outcomes for patients, providers, and everything in between. Optum, how well gets done. Learn more at Optum.com.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, the new Gmail. It's smarter, it's safer, but are users ready to embrace Gmail's biggest change since 2011? We'll look into it, but first, these tech headlines. The Justice Department is investigating whether Huawei Technologies violated U.S. sanctions related to Iran, opening a new avenue of scrutiny amid wider national security concerns. Such a probe raises the stakes for the Chinese cellular electronics giant, which is facing a series of moves by Washington to diminish its already limited business dealings in the U.S. The Trump administration has also recently cited Huawei as a threat to American leadership in the future of mobile communication. Huawei is also the world's number three maker of smartphones, behind Apple and Samsung. If investigators conclude the company intentionally violated U.S. export laws, Huawei could face criminal penalties. It is two in a row for Twitter. After 16 straight quarters of losses to start its life as a public company, this week it reported its second consecutive profitable quarter, a heartening sign as it works to turn the attention of its users into a viable business. Twitter said it expects to be profitable for the full year. Revenue for the first quarter rose 21% from a year earlier to $664.9 million. While we are on the subject, Facebook recorded rising revenue and profits in the first quarter as advertisers were undeterred by controversies around the site's mishandling of user data. Facebook's revenue rose nearly 50% to $11.97 billion. And Amazon is child-proofing Echo speakers and adding age-appropriate audio content. Starting May 9th, an over-the-air free update is set to allow Amazon Echo talking speaker owners to turn on the free time setting. This locks down certain functions, adds new controls, and transforms artificially intelligent Alexa from virtual assistant to virtual nanny. The Journal's Wilson Rothman has more at WSJ.com. Coming up, the new Gmail. Will you hate it? The Wall Street Journal's personal tech columnist David Pierce says probably not. What you can expect. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. This week, Google rolls out a redesign to the Gmail web experience, its biggest since 2011. Google's updated email client is more secure and productive, and it can write emails for you. Here to walk us through it all, joining us from the San Francisco Bureau, is The Wall Street Journal's David Pierce. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks.
So let's break it down bit by bit. Right off the bat, the first thing that hits you with the new Gmail are the visuals, right? So walk us through the optics of the new Gmail. Do we like it?
The encouraging part about the new Gmail is once you get used to kind of that immediate, oh my gosh, what's happening
right.
factor, which always hits you anytime anything changes.
Exactly.
It's not actually that different. So what Google actually did here was basically just modernize the design. It's spent the last several years going through this big change to what it calls material design, where everything feels a little more sort of physical, like actual objects instead of just sort of lines on a screen. And this updates to that. The fonts are a little more readable, corners are a little more round, things are a little redder, but it's fundamentally sort of the same thing. From talking to the Google folks, really, really important because there are 1.4 billion people who use Gmail. And as I'm sure you know, we all like to use email the way we're used to using email. And anybody who messes with that can just die as far as I'm concerned.
Right, exactly.
And so they knew going in that they couldn't make overhaul completely new, everything is different sorts of changes. So they just tried to kind of tweak around the edges and make it a little nicer without totally blowing people's minds. And I actually think they did a pretty good job of that.
Okay, fair enough. So privacy is a huge deal right now. What I like, some of the new stuff that seems to be addressing that, confidential mode, for example.
And email for the last few years has just been battered on privacy, and I think for totally valid reasons, that's every bad thing that happens seems to happen through somebody's email. I mean, obviously, Google understands this, that your email address, if I have access to your email inbox, there is almost nothing I can't do. I can reset all your passwords. I can access all your accounts. I can find all of your private conversation.
Right.
I mean, the email is very much like the digital gateway. So Google took it pretty seriously trying to do some of this stuff. And There are little changes, like if you get an email that Google thinks is phishing, which is when they get you to click on a link or provide information, thinking that it's to someone you know and trust, but it's not, they'll actually splash this huge red banner that says, "We think this is a scam. Don't click on this link." And you have to go through like three or four steps to say, "No, it's okay, it's fine," before you'll actually be able to do anything. And, you know, you can't solve everything, right? So they're just trying to make these sort of small steps to keep up with the biggest things that tend to go wrong. And one of the biggest ones is there was this Sony hack a few years ago, and when all those emails went out, it was years and years and years of confidential information. And I think what that made people realize about email is that one of the scary things is that you're just not in control once you send an email. They tried to give back a little bit of control. So now you can go into an email and enable what's called confidential mode. And that essentially puts all of the email control back to you. You can then unsend an email later if you want to. It just disappears from somebody else's inbox. You can set it to expire after a certain period of time. You can make it so that they can't forward or print it. And again, if somebody wanted to take a picture of that email on their phone and then send it to somebody, there's really nothing Gmail can do about that. I think the phrase they used was crimes of convenience, all these sort of too simple, too easy things that you do that get you into trouble that confidential mode in particular really helps to remove. And it just lets you say, oh, I sent this email and it has my tax information in it, and I don't want that just sitting around in my inbox or in someone else's inbox in case something happens, and you can pull that back.
Right, right. So now that we get to feel a little safer, let's talk sending the email. I understand there's been some refreshments and updates on email settings, like high priority settings and stuff. Email gets some option tweaks, so maybe even enhancements.
Yeah, I think one of the things that Google was trying to do with this was really address the people for whom email is work in good and bad ways. And I think that probably applies to both
of us
to some
right?
extent.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you spend too much time in your inbox dealing with the flow, sending emails. A lot of the important communication happens there. And so what the new Gmail helps you do is get fewer notifications. They have this new feature called high priority notifications that sort of automatically filters out all of the stuff that you don't need to know about immediately. It'll still be in your inbox, but it won't buzz your phone unless it's from someone you talk to often or someone who's asking you a question or someone you usually reply to quickly who's maybe your boss. There's also features like smart replies, which make it really easy to, with a couple of quick words, you just click and it'll say like, "Sounds great, thanks," or "I'll be there." It'll just suggest these sort of short little responses that you can do. Yeah, some of them are insane and make no sense, but some of them are great.
Yeah.
And so it's just a lot of little things like that. There's a feature called nudging where if you sent an email a few days ago that seems like it needed a response and you didn't get one, it'll bump it to the top of your inbox and be like, "Hey, maybe you should follow up on this." And none of these things are sort of individually gigantic. They don't totally change the way that you use email, but they're just these little pushes towards trying to make you a little more productive inside this sort of chaos that is your inbox.
Right. And listen, I use Gmail. I've used it for a long time. I like it fine. It's not perfect. You know, reading long email chains is never something I look forward to. So how smooth is sailing as far as adjusting as well as general awkwardness?
There's definitely some general awkwardness. One of the weird positions that Gmail is in is that I think it's fairly safe to say that Gmail is the best email experience. I mean, nothing else is nearly as good as Gmail. But that's not because Gmail is really good. It's just because email is sort of terrible in most cases. And so for Gmail to kind of try and level up again and do something different is really tough. There's just not a lot of obvious move forward for email. And so what you get is just more stuff. That was kind of what Gmail wanted to do here, was give you easier access to your calendar and your notes and your tasks in this new right sidebar that you can sort of interact with in tandem with your inbox. And it just gets to be a lot. You get to this point where instead of it feeling like a messaging app, it sort of feels like your whole work life all in one place, which at some points is really great. At other times, there's a million buttons and icons. You don't necessarily know what they do, and everything pops up all the time. And it just takes a lot of learning. And I feel like most redesigns now are all about simplifying and scaling back and white space. And Gmail's designers were just like, "How many icons can we put on this page at once?" And it's kind of jarring.
So it'll be a work in progress feeling it all out. But what's good, though, at least, Google isn't forcing you to use this, right? You can always go back to classic Gmail. And if you're so inclined, you can change your status later when things are updated.
Yeah, that's right. I think eventually they convert everybody over. But for now, and I think the good news is there's a lot of time in between where they'll be making changes and fixing bugs and things like that, where you can upgrade and either go through some of the things to simplify it a little bit, or just go, you click the gear icon in the top right corner, and you say, go back to classic Gmail and it just takes you right back to what you're comfortable with. And you can, I think there's a lot to be said for waiting out the first round of innovation to watch them fix some of the stuff.
Yeah, it's a really good piece on whsj.com/tech. As always, you know, David's pieces are very visual. Check them out. David, thanks as always.
Thank you.
That's it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.